Please turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Probably a very familiar verse of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15. Want to notice the first word says study. Study. Now, what's interesting, this is the King James Bible, the Word of God, is the only English translation that has that word study in it. Amen. And I believe the reason the other versions do not have the word study in there is, of course, the devil does not want God's people studying God's Word. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible tells us, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, the Bible says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let us pray this morning. Father, we do stand in awe of thy holy word. Father, we thank you that we do have your inerrant, your inspired, infallible word in the King James Bible this morning. Father, I pray, as I humbly come to you, I pray that you'd remove the flesh out of the way. Fill me with your Spirit, the Spirit of God this morning, to preach and teach only those things that you'd have me to say. Father, I pray, I know there's a message there for each and every one of us this morning. I pray if we need to be comforted by thy word, that we would be comforted. Father, if we need to be admonished by thy word, please admonish us. If we need to be rebuked, if there's a rebuke for us, please rebuke us, Father. Father, help our hearts and our minds to be open, Father, to thy word this morning. Help each and every one of us to be able to take the word of God and apply it to our hearts. Father, we just pray now. We pray for the edification of the saints of God, dear God, for the Christians. Father, this morning we pray, if there's a lost soul that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, we pray that this would be the very day that they would realize that they're lost and on their way to hell without Jesus, and they'd ask Jesus to save them this day. Father, we just pray and we ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. This morning I want to look at three reasons why Christians must study the Word of God. Three reasons why Christians must study the Word of God. And of course, we've just seen in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that Christians are commanded to study, not only just read, but to study God's Word. Amen. First of all, the first reason why Christians must study the Word of God is because the Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. Look it with me in Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah chapter 17, the Bible tells us, despite what society will try to tell you, despite what man will try to tell you, the Bible clearly says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the condition of the human heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? How did the human heart get that way? Well, the reason for the human heart being desperately wicked is because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. In verse number 12, the Bible tells us, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And of course, that one man, as mentioned, is Adam. And as a result of that, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see that the heart, the human heart, is desperately wicked, amen, because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. We also see the sin in our own life, our own nature, our flesh is inherited from Adam. Our sinful nature is inherited from Adam. We must remember that when a person gets saved, gets born again, gets regenerated by the Spirit of God, we must remember that this flesh that we live in, the flesh, is still not saved, amen. The old nature, as it's called, the old man, as it's called in the Scripture, is not saved. Neither is the soul not born again, the inner man, the real you, amen. And as a Christian, you'll notice, you'll feel inside your body each and every day as you get up a struggle. And that struggle, that battle, is the spirit and the flesh always warring against one another. And the battlefield is the soul, amen. Paul clearly recognized this struggle inside him. Looking in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 with me, if you please. As we begin in verse 17, Paul aptly describes this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Romans chapter 7, verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Here is probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, possibly, who wrote most of the New Testament as we know it, saying, now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul saying, what's causing him to sin is his flesh. He goes on and he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Did you hear that? Again, despite what society would say, what man would say, Paul clearly says, the Word of God says, that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to do it, but I can't do it. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. See, there's that battle to do good and evil, the flesh and the spirit. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Where is that sin dwelling? In the flesh, the sinful flesh, the part of man, the part of Paul that has not been born again or regenerated, amen? I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Again, the mind. The mind is the soul, amen. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is my members. And then Paul says, an exclamation point in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. When we speak of the heart in the Bible, we're also speaking of the mind, the will, the soul. The real you, in other words, your emotions, all your emotions and so forth. That's the soul. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ recognized the condition of the human heart. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 with me. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, beginning in verse 16, And Jesus said, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceedeth out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Jesus said clearly, as Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's why the Christian needs a daily cleansing from the Word of God, because their heart is desperately wicked. How can we say that? Well, we have some examples in the Bible of Christians that show that their heart was desperately wicked. One example that comes clearly to mind is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, if you turn there with me. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back a part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back a part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart?" See, there's the heart. "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So here we have Christians lying to God. They said that they sold their possession for a certain price, and they said they gave it all to the church and laid it at the apostles' feet, but in actuality they didn't. They kept a part back. Now, what Peter was saying to Ananias and Sapphira, wasn't it your own? You could have given part to the church and kept back for yourself, but you didn't have to lie about it. See, the heart. He says here in verse 4 of Acts 5, "Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart?" Again, lying is conceived in the heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Also, another example that comes to mind is in the Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that whole chapter, Paul devotes to admonishing the church at Corinth, where there was a man who was committing fornication with the wife of his father. And the church was doing nothing about it. They were puffed up about it. And the man would not repent of his sin, of fornication. And Paul said, if he won't repent and get right with God, turn over him his flesh for the destruction of Satan. Amen. Just some examples of how Christians' hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. So we see number one, one of the first reason we see why Christians must study the Word of God, because the heart is desperately wicked. Number two, the reason why Christians must study the Word of God is because out of the heart are the issues of life. Look at in Proverbs chapter 4 with me. The book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs with me. Proverbs chapter number 4. We read in verse number 23. The Bible instructs us, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The issues of life. What are the issues of life? Well, I believe the issues of life are our relationships. Our relationships, amen. The heart affects our relationships, so our heart must be bathed daily in the Word of God. Relationships. We have many relationships in our lives. Our relationship with God, number one, should be number one. Our relationship with family and friends, our boss, our relationship with everybody we come in contact is affected by our heart. How we get along with people, in other words, is determined by what condition our heart is. That's why in Proverbs we're told to keep thy heart with all diligence, to watch it, to be on guard, amen, to let nothing vile and wicked come into it, amen. If our heart is not right with Almighty God, then we have a tendency to be selfish. We have a tendency to be inconsiderate and sinful rather than loving and compassionate and pure of heart. Amen. So we see that it affects our relationships, our heart. Our heart. Out of the heart, out of it are the issues of life. Not only does it affect our relationship with others, but also it affects our heart, affects our resources. Our resources. If our heart is not right with God, it affects our appetites. Our appetites. If you think about it, the mind will think about the wrong things. It will lust after the wrong things, amen. It'll lust after the things of the world, amen. You know, the Bible tells us the reason there are wars is because the heart is not right. The heart is not right. Looking at James chapter 4. James chapter number 4 and verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Lusts. It affects your resources. It affects your resources. Amen. It affects your money, which is part of your resource. Amen. What happens is you'll spend your money on the wrong things. You won't spend your money on the work of God, amen. You won't support missionaries. You won't tithe to the local church like you should. You'll spend your money on the foolish things, on the wrong things of the world. You'll go out and buy all the little toys, all the latest gizmos and gadgets that the world has to offer. And you won't spend it on the things of the world, amen. The heart. Be diligent. Guard that heart, because out of the heart are the issues of life. The issues of life. Not only does it affect our relationships and our resources, but also our reasoning is affected by our heart. If our heart is not right with Almighty God, our purpose in life is dimmed. What does the Bible say the purpose of the Christian in this life ought to be? Well, Jesus spells it out in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The Christian's purpose in life should be to deny, number one, self. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. If your heart is not right with God, if you do not guard your heart diligently, will the issues of life come out of it? Your reasoning is not going to be deny self, but to satisfy self, to pamper self. You know, the flesh is like a little baby. It wants to be pampered. It cries out to be satisfied every minute of every day. Why do you think some of us have excess weight on us today? It's because that flesh wants to be satisfied and pampered. It's lazy. But if your reasoning is right, if your heart is right with God, amen, then you'll deny self. You'll put yourself last. Someone said, I once read, to have true joy, you're to put Jesus first, others second, and you last. Joy, real joy. Also, we see not only are we to deny self, but we're to take up our cross daily. Daily. See, the problem with too many Christians today is they want to get the crown now and bypass the cross. Well, let me tell you, if you don't do any suffering in this life for Jesus Christ, you're not going to wear any crown in eternity, amen? Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Paul the Apostle said this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for Christ, amen, if you're truly living for him, amen. Also, the Christian, we're looking at the purpose of the Christian. Purpose in life is to deny self, take up his cross, and follow Christ. Follow me, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Follow me. In other words, Jesus should be on the throne of your heart. You should follow his example in everything, including suffering. The stuff that we don't like to think about or talk about, suffering. When Jesus was persecuted, he did not threaten back. Amen. He suffered it patiently. And the Bible tells us if we do good and we're buffeted for it, amen, and we suffer it patiently, that's what is acceptable to God. Amen. In other words, the Christian's purpose in life is to serve Jesus Christ. To deny self, take up your cross, and follow Christ. But again, if your heart is not right, and again we're saying to diligently guard your heart because out of it the issues of life come from it, amen, then your reasoning is affected by life, and we will not want to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. We want to follow our own sinful nature, amen. We don't want to follow Jesus Christ. That'd be the last thing that we're thinking about. If our heart is not right with God, our reasoning will say, serve self. Avoid the suffering. Don't make a stand for Jesus Christ. Don't witness. Don't pass out gospel tracts. Don't tell your neighbors and your friends about Jesus Christ and how they can be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? No, because you may have to go through some persecution if you do that. Also, your faith will be affected. Your faith will be affected. In other words, if your heart is not right with God, your faith will be affected. Your reasoning will affect your faith, amen. You'll try to control and do everything in your flesh. And what you're going to find out is you're going to fail, and you're going to fail miserably. Amen. So we see, number two, the second reason why Christians must study the Word of God is because out of the heart are the issues of life. Finally, number three, the third reason why Christians must study the Word of God is the Bible tells us God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Look in Hosea with me, the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter number 4 with me. Hosea chapter number 4. The Bible tells us in verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What is destroyed for lack of knowledge? Well, number one, our witness or testimony is destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And when we're talking about knowledge, we're not talking about worldly facts and knowledge and wisdom. We're talking about the things of the Bible, godly wisdom, wisdom from above, amen, knowledge from above. If you think about it, how can you help others? How can you and I help others that God brings into our lives if we don't know the Word of God? How are we going to be able to deal with that individual or individuals and apply to their lives the Word of God if we don't know it? If we don't have knowledge of the Word of God? If it's not only in our heads, but in our hearts, amen. You know, whether it be dealing with someone who is unsaved and dealing about their salvation and being able to go to the Scriptures and show them and to explain to them, amen, what the Bible says about being saved and born again through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we're saved by grace through faith alone and Christ alone, amen, and on His blood atonement, His finished work at Calvary. How can you do that? How can you not only show a person how to be saved, but also to show them after they're saved that they have eternal security, amen? That no man can pluck you out of the hand of God, amen. That nothing can separate you from the love of God. As Paul said, he believes, amen. He is persuaded, amen, that what he has committed to Almighty God, to Jesus Christ, will be there at the resurrection, amen. If we do not have knowledge of the Word of God, how can we help other Christians who need to be restored, who are backslidden, who have gotten into sin, amen, or to help them with some kind of problem and take them to the verses, amen, that will bring them comfort, that will bring them peace, that will help them to get victory over their sin in their life? How can we do that if we do not have knowledge of the Word of God? That's why it's so important for you and I, as Christians, to be in the Word of God and study the Word of God on a daily basis, amen. Not just to store up Bible facts, amen, but to be able to help others, amen. Those that are lost and on their way to hell are Christians that need to be restored and helped through the Word of God, amen. Number two, what else is destroyed? Our work. In other words, our potential to accomplish great things for Almighty God is destroyed. A lot of times we'll see people get saved, and then immediately they're swept up by one of the cults. Why? Because they did not study the Word of God. They did not rightly divide the Word of truth, the Word of God, amen. What's a shame is a lot of these cults have more knowledge and understanding of their false doctrine than the average Bible-believing, independent Bible-believing fundamental Baptist does, amen. What a shame. We see a lot of these Christians that have been led to the Lord through independent fundamental Baptist churches, amen, Bible-believing churches, being swept up by the cults. Why? Well, number one, they weren't discipled properly, amen, and encouraged to get into the Word of God. A lot of times, someone gets saved and we give them a fistful of tracts and we tell them to go out and lead someone to Jesus Christ, which is not wrong. That's what Christians should be doing. Amen. But number one, we should be grounding them, brand new Christians, in the Word of God. Amen. And unfortunately, amen, that person's potential to accomplish great things for God is destroyed because one of the cults has come and swept them up and convinced them of this is the right way. Amen. So what happens in essence is that individual, that person, wastes a lifetime misleading others and going in circles and accomplishing nothing for Almighty God. What a shame. So we see not only our witness is destroyed, but also our work. And what else is destroyed for lack of knowledge? The workshop. Well, what's the workshop? Well, the workshop is the family. The family. The family is a spiritual laboratory. Amen. In fact, the family was the first institution that God ordained. We see it right there in the Garden of Eden after the fall, that God, he created them. Amen. He created them male and female. He put Adam and Eve together. They were married. They had children. Amen. The family is the first ministry even before the church. Amen. Even before the church. Amen. A lot of times the family is spiritually bankrupt, hurting, because a lot of these churches say everything, the church comes first, everything else comes first, the family's last, amen. And we see so many families wounded and hurting, amen, because of lack of knowledge, amen, because of lack of knowledge, this destruction, because of the lack of knowledge, Christian families are being destroyed, amen. Families are being hurt and wounded, and because of a destruction of a lack of knowledge. The family is our testing ground. If you think about it, if a man cannot teach and apply the things of the Bible, the Word of God, to his family, and help his family understand the Word of God, how can he help anyone else? How could he, for example, teach someone else the Word of God or apply the Word of God to someone else's life and help them understand the Word of God if they can't do it with their own family? I believe that Almighty God puts a great emphasis on the family. Why, for example, in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the qualifications for the pastor and the deacon is for them, they must have their family straight when it comes to the things of God. In other words, they must be able to rule and rule their family, amen, and serve their family and get that right and get that straight first before they're going to be able to rule and serve in a church, amen. If you can't do it with your family, amen. In other words, there are many men out there that are not qualified to be deacons or to be pastors, amen, because if you look at their families, they're in disarray, they're hurting, they're divided, he's not ruling, they're not in submission to him. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge, putting the wrong things first, amen. I'm not saying there are some men of God who have taught their family and done everything before Almighty God that Almighty God wanted them to do. Amen. And maybe one of the children have gone awry or something's gone wrong. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men of God who have just followed someone else's teaching, counted to the Word of God that says, hey, everything, the church comes first, the family's last. Well, that's not the way it is, amen. And the reason things are like that way, because of a lack of knowledge. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Again, we've seen this morning three reasons Christians must study the Word of God. Number one, the heart is desperately wicked. That's what the Word of God says. I've shown you that this morning. We've looked at the Scriptures. We've opened them up. Even Jesus recognized the wicked condition of man's heart. Hey, if man's heart was so wonderful, amen, if man was so wonderful, why did God's only begotten Son have to come down to this earth, this sin-sick earth, and die and shed his precious blood and be beaten and spit upon? Amen. If man was so wonderful. Well, the reason he had to come is to save sinners. And all men are sinners because of their fallen nature that they've inherited from Adam. The heart is desperately wicked. Number two, we saw out of the heart are the issues of life. Another reason why Christians must study the Word of God. Out of the heart are the issues of life. The issues of life. The issues of life are relationships with others. Number one, the most important relationship that you and I have is with Almighty God. The most important relationship is with Jesus Christ. My dear friend, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Has there ever been a time in your life that you realized, according to the Word of God, that you were a sinner? As the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And you realize as a result of your sin, according to the Scriptures, that you are on your way to hell, for the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. But you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you from your sins. Have you done that? If you haven't, my dear friend, the Bible tells us that you're on your way to hell. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died. He died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day to save us. That's what you must be trusting in. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you from your sins and secure a home in heaven. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And number three, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's why it's so important. We saw in the King James Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to shew thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Study the Word of God daily. Read it, study, meditate on it, so you will not be destroyed, my friend, my fellow Christian, for a lack of knowledge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to our closing time of invitation, Father, help us as Christians, if we're not in the Word of God and studying it like we should, that we would be, Father. Convict us of our sin of neglect of your Word. Father, we see there are we've looked at three reasons why the Christian must study the Word of God. I'm sure there are many more. Father, we help us to acknowledge that our hearts are desperately wicked, that we need a daily cleansing of the Word of God to keep us in a right relationship with you, Lord. Help us to realize to keep our hearts diligent, to guard our hearts, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything is affected by the condition of our heart. And Father, help us to avoid destruction by lack of knowledge of the Word of God. And Father, I pray, if someone here today that's never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would believe from their heart today on Him. Father, now we ask this all, and as always, we ask the Holy Spirit to have its will and its way in our time of invitation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.